gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Another big, big show, the Rude Pundit, his rudeness, his Monday rudeness coming up in less than half an hour. Eric Bollert, who we have a new jingle for.
That's
which
right.
Is always a happy day here on the Stephanie Miller newscast. Coming up to co-host Right Wing World next hour. Also, Mama on the Ed Show on MSNBC is up on the YouTube section of StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah.
Why do you say it like
that? Well, it's not really called the YouTube section. It's just called the video section.
Oh,
so
that, the thing.
The thing with the videos.
The thing with the things where you can see.
Yes.
And not just the... Okay. All right. And I will be on MSNBC Media Whoring again today with David Schuster at 3:30 Eastern Time.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Our buddy, our pal, David Schuster. All right. Oh, and also, Ed and Wendy Schultz took me out to dinner after on Friday night. So I expect David Schuster to take me to lunch. That's going to be part of my new deal.
Yeah, but he's not in New York. He's in D.C.
That's okay. I can take a train down. It doesn't take long.
Okay.
Unless, of course, we get another monsoon. Hello.
Oh, my God.
I have moved to Calcutta. We had a monsoon on the East Coast this weekend.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Later I heard on the news it was hurricane force winds. That's the only thing that I've missed so far. We've had Snowmageddon. My dog's got Giardia, which I know it's beaver fever. And then I got a bulletin from my vet on Friday saying there's been another outbreak of rabies in Central Park. There were the raccoons, and now they found a feral cat with rabies in Central Park. So there's rabies, and then we had the monsoon.
Wait, and you have feral cats taking over Manhattan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And, I grew up in Buffalo, as you know, and I don't think I've ever been in a weather event like this. It was a 70-mile-an-hour wind, seriously. It was an umbrella killer. I believe I lost two umbrellas were the casualties. It literally was like you shouldn't have been outside.
Oh, dear.
It was, yes.
It was sunny and 78 here yesterday.
Oh, shut up. like, millions of people lost power. It was, it was a crisis of epic proportions. But anyway, I survived. All right. Any word from Reverend Robertson? Because it goes without saying that New York is either Sodom or Gomorrah. So that's probably why.
Well, I guess Boston got it even worse than New York did.
Well, you know, gay marriage.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of reverends, we had the Reverend Jim Wallace on Friday, whom we love.
Yeah.
A lot of other, by the way, reverends taking up the fight against Glenn Beck. Listener Ken in Cleveland with it.
The Reverend Jim Wallace,
the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show,
who leads the Christian anti-poverty group Sojourners, called on Christians to leave Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck said, "Social justice is a perversion of the gospel. Since you're calling on Christians to leave all of our churches, and you're saying it's a perversion of the gospel, I'm asking Christians to leave you, Glenn."
Turn off your televisions. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off.
I have invited Glenn to a conversation about whether social justice is a perversion of the gospel or at the heart of it.
It sounds intimidating.
Run away! Run away!
I'm sorry. Communists and the Nazis both subscribe to one philosophy, social justice.
What is he even basing that on, that it's the basis for Nazism, communism?
The Glenn Beck Bible.
I write your unholy name twice in blood.
I think you don't want to be saying this. I hope you don't.
I think Reverend Wallace was smart enough to email. You don't want to get on Glenn Beck's phone.
No.
All right. There is another church, by the way. Oh, where am I looking at this? Could you take out your organ for me, please?
Sure.
Church uses marquee to speak out against Beck. This week, Christian religious leaders, of course, have been criticizing Glenn Beck over his controversial remarks that churches that promote social and economic justice are somehow dangerous. A story posted on CNN has a photo of a United Church of Christ congregation in Wantagh. I don't know where that is, New York.
Mm.
Wantagh.
Okay.
anyway, it says, sorry, Mr. Beck, Jesus preached social justice. The preacher there said, Mr. Beck's comments about the social justice being a perversion of the gospel was a total distortion of anybody that's even given a cursory reading to the words of Jesus. I felt it was an unwarranted attack on Christians, and I felt like something needed to be said. Joining our the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Wall.
Hooray.
All right. And I'm just a way XXX Catholic girl.
Yeah.
And that's what I asked Reverend Wells. I was like, isn't that almost all Jesus talked about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the helping the poor and the sick. So that would be health care, which would be up. Okay, now it's the final push. Today's President Obama's going to Ohio today, Chris. This is it.
Uh-huh.
This is the week. It is. Yeah. Now it finally is. He's postponed his trip. Well, listen, Candy Crowley, who, you know, I worship like the journalistic goddess she is, she went on record saying it's going to pass because there's no way the president would have postponed his trip to Indonesia. Yeah.
It takes a lot to postpone a presidential trip.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday they were saying they don't have the votes yet, but clearly they think they will, or they're not going to, they wouldn't have done, is what Candy Crowley was saying.
Mm-hmm. And also the president indicated that he'd be open to more kickbacks.
Or kickbacks?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
To various congresspeople.
I don't believe the president yesterday said I'm open to various kickbacks.
Well, that's what
I think you're paraphrasing.
That's what the press is called. You know, like the Cornhusker kickback and all of that. Yeah.
What do you mean he'd be open to more of them? He just took out two of them. Took out the Cornhusker and the other one.
It's on a story that's linked to our homepage. That's Stephanie
Miller. Really?
Yes.
Why am I are not aware of what's up?
StephanieMiller.com.
Why am I?
Because do you ever look at StephanieMiller.com?
No. No, I'm not a fan. Not a fan. The House's chief Democratic head counter said yesterday he hadn't rounded up enough votes yet to pass President Obama's health care overhaul. But, you know, again, you sometimes get conflicting signals. The White House top political advisor said he was absolutely confident. David Axelrod, mm-hmm. I was watching yesterday. Robert Gibbs predicted House passage this week before Congress takes the two-week break and Obama travels to Asia. He said this is a week where we will have this important vote. I do think it's a climactic week for health care reform. David Axelrod said Democrats will persuade enough lawmakers to vote yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's
an Associated Press story this morning that says, still seeking votes for a proposed health care overhaul, President Barack Obama appears ready to reverse his position and allow unpopular deal-sweetening measures in the hopes of finding Democratic support.
Oh, we're not giving Stupak something, are we?
I don't know.
Stupid.
So, yeah.
The Boner, pledging, you know, his normal cooperation, he pledged we will do everything we can to make it difficult for them, if not impossible, to pass the bill. Isn't he helpful? Yeah, James Clyburn, the whip. We've had the whip on. He said, no, we don't. This is yesterday. He said, we don't have them as of this morning, but we've been working on this thing all weekend. He said he was confident the measure would pass. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
The president feels some momentum on this issue. I think the president believes that while many thought this issue was going to go away or was dead, a few weeks ago, has gotten new life.
I mean, there's no way Nancy Pelosi would have said, and I quote, I'm delighted the president will be here for the passage of the bill. It's going to be historic. You know, I mean, I don't think she'd be saying that on camera if she wasn't fairly confident that this is going to be the week. Robert Gibbs.
All three agreed that it would be helpful to have a few extra days here talking to members.
Does this mean that perhaps as of next week, Chris, we could stop talking about health care? Is that possible?
It's entirely possible, but we'll be talking about the quote-unquote deal-sweetening measures.
Ugh, why must you always rain on my parade?
Because I'm not happy about that.
Oh, so you would rather not have health care? You'd rather have 30 million people not be insured?
Yeah, the American public is going to be up in arms if any more quote-unquote deal-sweetening measures are going to be added to this thing. They were already up in arms about the Nebraska thing.
Look,
we are like this close to the finish line,
and people like you are going to stick in my craw today. That's the problem.
I'm just facing reality. I'm not, being pie in the sky here. I'm facing reality.
We are at the finish line. Whatever it takes to get this done, I'm for. It's, you know, to get rid of pre-existing conditions, get 30 million more people insured. I think we're at push comes to shove time.
Even if it costs.
That's why it's taken this long, because of whiny, screamy liberals like you.
Even if it costs vote, we are going to be losing the House and the Senate in November.
We will lose the House and the Senate if we don't pass health care reform.
That is entirely possible.
For people to start screaming. screaming now. I know, and then like, we're going to not get health care right at the last minute. I don't think so. Nancy Pelosi on Friday.
I'm delighted that the president will be here for the passage of the bill. It's going to be historic, and it would not be possible without his tremendous, tremendous leadership.
I mean, hopeful sounds coming out of this meeting she had with her caucus this last, I believe it was Friday.
I feel very exhilarated by a caucus that we had this morning. We stand ready to stay as long as it takes to pass the bill.
Yeah, Chris Van Hollen, our buddy, our pal, the head of the, whatever it is, the fancy title with too many words I can never say.
The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Mm-hmm, okay. See, you get in the middle of it and you're like, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, he sent memos out basically saying, look, you know, leave your weekend free. Either you're still going to be here, you're going to be exhausted, or so, you know, please, I think this is the week. Please, please. All right. So I think exactly at long last, though, we were this close to the finish line. 17 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit coming right up. First of all, I'm feeling exhilarated. You know why?
Why is that?
I am, well, my muscles caucused over the weekend doing P90X.
What?
And
is
I have more muscle I have more muscle confusion than usual this morning.
What?
I'm sore in places. I didn't even know I had places.
Which DVD did you do this weekend?
I did the back, what's it, I forget which goes together. Back in something. Back in every day's a different DVD. So you don't, because you know what I used to do, Chris? I would do, 5-10 minutes maybe at the gym on doing weights, but I didn't focus enough on one muscle group. Every day on P90X you focus either, I think it's back and chest, I think. Anyway, but there's like chest and every day it breaks down something else. There's ab ripper, mm-hmm. There's cardio, there's yoga, there's, so every day
you focus on yoga. I love that yoga DVD.
It's, Fred particularly likes plyometrics. My dog Fred gets very excited.
Fred?
Uh-huh. And then Mama gets some extra exercise sending him off. Take the P90X challenge with Mama. I am thrilled to say that my pants are fitting much better. I gained a little weight, I think I've mentioned, since I moved to New York and sort of got off my regular schedule. Try the challenge with Mama. Check this out. 90-day radio-exclusive in-home trial. You can try it for the full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. P90X. Call now. 800-509-9FIT. That's 800-509-9FIT, or go right to stephaniemiller.com now. Click on that banner ad. Take the challenge with Mama. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with healthcare. And then Rude Pundit as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. His rudeness coming up in just a couple of minutes. Doc, in somewhere that I can't remember, you just told me.
In Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Doc. Milwaukee, good morning.
Milwaukee, the beer city. Good morning.
Okay,
Stephanie, you need to explain something to me, dear.
Yes.
And that is, why all of a sudden all the progressive talk shows, well, let me rephrase, some progressive talk shows were so animated at the public health care, all of a sudden are not talking about it and they're backing President Obama. I would like to know.
Wait, I'm sorry, go back. Why are we what?
Well, everybody was styled on the public
option.
They wouldn't budge from it, and all of a sudden now it's okay, and we should approve President Obama's plan. And
still, well, a lot of us have been fighting for the public option for a long time, and still haven't given up on it in the long term. But you know, obviously, it looks like the original plan is not going to pass with a public option. It'll be exchanges.
Because we allowed our government officials to do that. Still 7 to 14 million Americans.
I don't know if we allowed. I mean, you know,
the pressure's off.
Right, but this is, you know, you've heard us talk with obviously a lot of congresspeople over this last year, right, Doc, that you know, Medicare and Social Security and civil rights, a lot of things started one way and had to be strengthened over time. So the fact that we've been fighting for it, and it may not be in the first version of the bill, is not the end of the world to me.
Well, you know, too, what people are talking about, and we're just blowing over it, is no one explained why it's going to take 4 years to enact this. And also, why is it that 7 to 14 million people still won't be insured? It's like we forgot about them all. What was the criteria?
Well, because I think, like we've talked about, you know, single payer, whatever, I mean, true universal coverage would be the only thing that would do that. But there are a lot of good things that do kick in right away with this. You know, right away, just so you know, no more donut hole in the prescription drug plan, dependent children covered until they're 26, and nobody, you know, with pre-existing conditions can be denied. Just those three are pretty huge, don't you think?
Yeah, they're huge. It's like running a race. For me, the way I see it, it's like running a race, and you're three-quarters of the way done, and we say, the heck with it, we'll stop.
No, listen, I'm thrilled that, you know, 41 senators have signed this public option thing. Believe me, I'm still someone that believes in miracles, that thinks maybe somehow there could be a tipping point that the public option could get in. It doesn't seem like it at this particular point.
Well, I'm ecstatic, too. I'm doing a jitterbug dance. I can probably remember that. You're about my age, but yeah.
I beg your pardon. I never did the jitterbug. What? Jitterbug? What?
Okay,
the jitterbug?
What? All right, Doc. Thanks for calling. What? I don't. I think both of us are too old even to get the name of that dance right.
Yeah.
I didn't jitterbug. That was in the 40s, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you did the Charleston.
I did not. All right. President Obama delaying his trip to Indonesia and Australia by 3 days, as I mentioned, in hopes of finalizing a health care bill. Instead of leaving next Thursday, March 18th, the deadline he imposed for Congress, he will take off on Sunday, March 21st. I know, Shano wrote on the live blog, and of course, they would never have the president show up at the Olympic Committee unless they were sure Chicago was going to get the Olympics.
Right.
All right. I understand, Shano. I'm just saying. They have a little more control over this. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi thinks so, and Robert Gibbs and David Axelrod, I'm saying they know a few things about this. They didn't have access to knowing what the International Olympic Committee was actually doing or thinking.
Right. But Nancy Pelosi's not going to come out and say, you know, we don't have the votes. Of course she's going to cheerlead.
We don't have a prayer. You might as well leave, Mr. President.
And the right is going to cheerlead that they don't have the votes. So
yeah. Oh, gee, that's something so new for the Republicans. What, they're rooting against the president? What a shock.
I know. So it's business as usual. So I don't know that I'd take, you know, anything Nancy Pelosi says.
Ordinary. As I understand it, a presidential trip, it involves some degree of planning.
It does.
Is what I'm just, like you said, that's pretty unusual. You don't, you know, that's a long announced, long planned thing. They don't, you know.
And there, you know, a lot of.
The president's not like going to Vegas for the weekend. He goes, you know what? Let's go to Indonesia.
Right. And a lot of Secret Service stuff has to be done in advance, you know, and all of that is thrown
my
out the window.
My favorite movie, you know, my favorite movie, American President. Like, the president wants to jump out of the car to get flowers. And Michael J. Fox says, no jumping, sir. No jumping, Mr. President. No jumping. So you can't jump at the last minute, is my point. This has been in the works, and to change a presidential trip is a big deal.
It certainly is.
Is all I'm saying.
No jumping.
No jumping. Thank you. Representative Nancy Pelosi.
Any hesitation anybody might have about do you trust the Senate is offset by the great vision that they have for health care. It will take a little faith, but what we do always does.
I don't think we need to worry about what the Senate will do, Chris. I think we all know the Senate does nothing. Does absolutely nothing. I don't even know why they exist. Why should we be worried?
Do I need to go over a civics class for you again? The Senate exists so it gives states like Rhode Island and Wyoming the same amount of power as large states like California
why
and New York.
Why can't I get a good answer to my question? Why can't we just dissolve the Senate? I just want to hear.
Computer says yes.
Okay, good idea, Steph. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Rude Pundit on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Trust me, she ain't what she used to be, all right? Once you get those pants off, it's like two sagging pressed hams and a slice of pizza.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. I'm not a has-been. I'm a never-was.
Well,
get it straight.
And you're getting better because of P90X.
Thank you. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Hey, here's the exciting news about Mama's life here in Calcutta. I'm having lunch with Fran Drescher on Thursday. How about that?
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's at a restaurant called Sheffield's. I don't know. I just,
oh.
You know how I am. I need to hear Fran say certain things.
I'm sure she loves it when you do that.
Now, we'll see if we can get her on. It's for her Cancer Schmancer, her foundation, you know,
awesome.
Which she's doing the Lord's work with. All right. And my mom has breast cancer, as you know.
That's right.
And we always love having Fran on. She is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. And she lets me lead her into some different way of saying, oh, Mr. Sheffield, every time she's on,
mm-hmm.
which I love. Because I'm just that immature. All right. It is Monday. You know what that means. We're feeling rude.
Lee Bobbitt, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Are you, I don't know, what's the combination of feeling that this may really be the final week for healthcare? That we may really get this done this week?
I think that we're, you know, it's sort of like when you've had sex for so long that you're so sore, you don't care anymore, and you're thinking, should we stop? And you're thinking, we should stop.
We're so but close to the happy ending now, aren't
right,
we?
Right, right.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, like, there'll be sometimes, they'll claim some drug allows you to have, you know, orgasms for 17 hours. I'm like, I don't even want to have sex that long.
I was gonna say, if that's for men, we would just deflate.
Exactly. So what do you think, though? I mean, I believe me, I know Democrats are expert, as we always say, at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, but it seems like we're almost there.
I think that there's no way they would be so public. As you were saying earlier, there's no way they would be so public if they didn't see that this was going to pass. It would be one of the most demoralizing things they could do to people who are finally getting geared up. Okay, finally, let's have this final push.
Right. Although the alternative is maybe we won't get health care, but Chicago will get the Olympics. Maybe that will happen just retroactively.
Oh, wow. That would be a shame.
Thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, parking in that city is just wonderful now.
So, you know, I love the mostly the what photos make you want to do. So your main photo here today is photos that make the rude pundit want to teabag a Komodo dragon. This
Ow.
Is now...
Hmm? Ow.
This is kind of funny. It's a photo of the president with half the president's face, and then the other half is a... it's supposed to be the Dark Knight.
Well, it's Two-Face from the Dark Knight. Yeah, they know how to use the Photoshop over in Indonesia.
Yes, you say what does the Tea Party and the Republican National Committee have in common with Muslim students in Indonesia? The ability to Photoshop Barack Obama's face into the villain from Dark Knight. Oh, that and a hatred of President Obama, that's fairly startling, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't like him over there because, you know, he's killing Muslims. And apparently the fact that he is a Muslim from Indonesia still doesn't prevent them from despising him.
It is hilarious that it's a sign that you could see at a teabagger rally. And you write, one supposes that every right-wing tool running around America declaring that Obama is surrendering the United States to Islam and allowing Osama bin Laden to sodomize our veiled daughters never actually asked, you know, Muslims what they thought. Because there they are. The protest leader in Jakarta said he's a war president and an enemy of Islam.
Yep. And there he is. He's just like Bush, you know, according to so again, you know, that miss me yet sign, they are right in league with the Muslim protesters. I think he has brought the world together.
So, you know, you write it says something about the Stephanie Miller Show. My two favorite writers, Frank Rich and the Rude Pundit. And you both have a similar theme about Al-Qaeda, Liz Cheney, and American failure in this whole war on terror thing this week.
Yeah, that there's I don't know, that there's this notion that we are so weak, and it's just that's what gets aggravating, that they are constantly telling us that this country is so weak that we can't have lawyers who defended, who did their jobs doing pro bono work for Gitmo detainees. Who does anybody point it out that some of these people were innocent? That there's a big difference between, as Mark Thiessen went on about, you know, defending people in the mob and defending people who have no rights and may actually be innocent.
Right.
That somehow defending.
Yeah, and maybe a cab driver whose, you know, cousin turned him in because he doesn't like him.
Right, or some warlord who wanted to get a bounty. Yeah, that there was somehow something wrong with that. And I just, and you know, it's just bizarre. And I love the way they're contorting every kind of argument on this. Now they're saying, well, you know, John Adams, because people were saying, well, John Adams defended the British soldiers who committed the Boston Massacre. And now they're going after John Adams as if that wasn't so brave. You know, he was actually a British citizen at the time defending British people. And it's like, yeah, but it was 1770.
But I mean, the Frank Rich writes about Karl Rove's ridiculous new thing, you know, just rewriting history. It's like, and you echo that, you know, here's the dirty little secret. We were pretty safe prior to 9/11. You know, they did not keep us safe. 9/11 happened on their watch. You know, Obama's done a pretty good job compared to that, correct?
Well, so far, yeah. I mean, we got past the first September of his term, and it's all clear. Just one underwear bomber getting in the way, messing up the record, keeping it from being 1,000.
Well, as you write, ultimately, though, you can in your particular rudeness. Ultimately, you can use all the technological gigas in the world. You can get DNA and feces sample of everyone coming into the country. You can drown every detainee, but you're not going to stop the lone or who wants to crash a plane or blow up his. It's the price of living in these armed times.
And you know, not to go back to whether or not you danced the Lindy, but you remember the Cold War.
I read about
that,
it.
That wasn't that. Yes, you learned about it in history class when you had braces. It was, you know, we lived every day wondering, hey, is everything going to blow up? Don't tell us that these guys living in caves that might, you know, launch one rocket or crash one plane are the end of civilization.
Right.
You know, we somehow got through the Cold War with somehow sanity intact.
Yep. One of my favorite posts of yours this week, why Glenn Beck ought to be repeatedly punched. NASA edition, because that was a spectacle, wasn't it? The hour-long Eric Massa interview.
Oh, that was beautiful. It was so fun watching Glenn Beck's face, and not to rehash, you know, week-old news now. And God, doesn't it seem like so long ago, Eric?
I know. I was just thinking that. God, the tickle party is so last week now.
I know. Although you know, I spent the weekend trying to figure out how to get snorkeled, as I think many of us did. What equipment is required for that?
That was the only thing I just learned about guy culture is I apparently tickle parties very big at 50-year-old male birthday parties.
Oh, my friends and I get together. It's all tickle parties. We throw pillows on the floor in case one of us falls over or is tackled while getting tickled. And
well, you know, you point out, I mean, there really is was a sadness to this whole spectacle that this guy was clearly, you know, having a meltdown, and it just, you know, the right wing trying to use him as a, go ahead.
Yeah, just give that guy a fleshlight and a pack of cigarettes and tell him to go on his way. You know,
and I don't mean to minimize because it's on our side of the aisle, Rude, but you know, there is something about, of course, like, you know, there's Boner on TV, you know, we gotta continue this investigation, even though he's left Congress. And, you know, dare I say it, I'm not sure what the actual damage was. I mean, clearly he behaved inappropriately, but it's like, oh, please, like, this is the most important thing in getting on with the business of the Republic, right?
And wasn't the investigation, they're trying to compare it to Mark Foley, and I think, wasn't Mark Foley potentially breaking the law by contacting underage boys?
Right.
That's sort of a huge difference between tickling and groping a staff member and trying to set up sex with underage boys. I actually see a difference there in kind of offense.
Yeah, that's what I mean about the I think Candy Crowley even asked John Boehner that. She was like, Well, do you really want to go there? The amount of corruption, that isn't that going to bring up all the Republican scandals? You know, suddenly they're talking about corruption and ethical matters and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, oh, please, you know.
Yeah, I think Republicans are scared right now because health care is going to pass. I mean, that the way that they are reacting to this, the convulsive anger that they're starting to express is less about them being, I mean, Lindsey Graham's out there being the usual drama queen that he is, saying that, you know, we won't do anything on immigration or climate change because of the breakdown in comedy in the Senate.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know that you're winning when people are reacting so viscerally strongly against you.
Yeah, and you knew immigration was poised to be such a magical, placid, bipartisan debate.
Oh, yeah, that was going to just go smoothly through. There was no conservative Democrats were going to have any problem with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and plus, you think, how can you even with a straight face talk about how you need to continue this massive investigation when John Ensign, I mean, could that be dirtier? And he's staying in the Senate, you know.
Or go back to Tom DeLay. The Republican National Committee changed the rules of their committee to say that, yeah, somebody under indictment can still be our leader. Let's change that rule that says they have to step down. It's like
Right, and that's the difference, too. Eric Massa, whatever he did, it clearly wasn't something that rose to a felony. It was inappropriate, but he's already gone. He's resigned, you know. So
and look how quickly that happened. That's the other thing is, yes, when we don't know when Pelosi was first informed. That's a question, whether or not she was informed back in October, and she said in that interview that she was letting investigations take place. But look how quickly they got rid of Massa. It was
right.
There weren't all of these people stepping up to defend him. There weren't all of these people saying, you know, this was innocent. This was not what it seems. It was, no, this guy's nuts. This guy has fantasies about naked Rahm Emanuel pointing at him with what in the shower.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, that's the other thing, that it sounds like a lot of the stuff that was coming up, it wasn't necessarily, or at least the first reports weren't really sexual. It was just kind of inappropriate behavior in general.
Yeah, because in the Navy, you know, it's all about the tickle parties. Tickle parties and then, this thing that he talked about, actually, my favorite sort of homoerotic element of the whole story is when he showed Glenn Beck pictures of
yes.
the crossing the border or crossing the equator ceremony, where what they do is they make sailors get down on their knees and kiss the belly and lick, like, whipped cream or grease out of the belly button of a fat guy on the ship.
Why?
And you know what that looks like.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem homoerotic. That seems like that would turn a gay guy straight.
Whoa, is that what I'm doing?
The Rude Pundit. We'll see you next Monday, honey. Thanks for stopping in.
Bye.
There he goes, his rudeness.
Yes.
47 minutes after the hour. Ew. All right. All right, time to rip the Band-Aid off on health care. That's what the memo. We'll tell you what the Democratic memo says as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I give good faith.
So it
I is heard. The Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, Democrats, it's time to rip the Band-Aid off on the health care. The advice went out to freshman and sophomore House Democrats. Blunt talk to help them through the tricky vote on health care. Tricky. What's tricky about it, for God's sakes? At this point, you just have to rip the Band-Aid off and have a vote, up or down, yes or no, the memo said. The memo also counseled their staffs to highlight the reforms that will quickly become law. I think I counted it, because a lot of people still are like, what is this going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And when's it going to do it? Here's what will happen right away, and this is important because it helps my mom.
Okay.
no more donut hole in the prescription Medicare prescription drug plan. Dependent children covered until you're 26. Insurance access for those with pre-existing conditions. So there are, you know, a lot of things that are going to happen right away.
What is the donut hole?
It's the a lot of drugs. You know, like my mom has breast cancer and
right.
she's on hormone treatment. It is really, really expensive.
Right.
Drugs, and there is a certain, when you've spent a certain amount with a Medicare prescription drug plan,
mm-hmm.
it runs out, and you can't, there's a time period before it will pay for it again.
Okay, and that time period is
called a donut
the...
hole. There's like a period, yeah, where
gotcha.
You have to wait. Like, my mom had to actually wait to be able to get the hormone pills, you
okay.
know, and people with serious illnesses shouldn't have to wait because, oh, we can't pay for that now, you know. So anyway, Pelosi told her members Friday to brace themselves for a climactic health care vote early this week, promising to stay in session until the landmark vote. Members and staff don't think Pelosi has the 216 votes she needs to pass reform at this point, but most believe that she's very close. In addition, here's the tricky thing. I think I heard Howard Dean talking about this last week. It looks like she has the plan is this. It looks like House Democrats won't have to vote directly on a Senate bill they really don't like. The Speaker hasn't made a final decision but told her rank and file during this meeting that the plan now is to craft the legislation in such a way that they would deem the Senate bill passed once the House approves the package of fixes. So they can feel confident that, you know, what they're really voting on are these fixes to make the bill what they actually want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a memo from Chris Van Hollen, who has the fancy title. I can't really remember.
Chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Office and Brotherhood
with the stuff.
Okay. And Elks Club. he said we will likely vote Friday or Saturday, meaning this coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Noting the president's decision to delay his departure was not a coincidence. And they also counseled people about, you know, that obviously Republicans, now they got nothing else. They're screaming about process, about reconciliation, which that ship, the good ship reconciliation has already sailed. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
People who try and start arguments about process on this are almost always against the actual policy substance, too, oftentimes for purely political reasons. No kidding.
Yes.
House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer brushed aside concerns that Democrats cannot pass a bill without Stupak, and other anti-abortion members. He said, we have not discussed a third way. I've talked to Mr. Stupak. I made it clear I wasn't negotiating. Oh, God. It is clear that the matter cannot be dealt with per se in a reconciliation bill. We will have to deal with it pretty much as it is at this point in time. That's what they're saying, is you can't deal with that. Reconciliation is only for budget stuff.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe it'll end up being enough for him that abortion fund, you already can't use federal funds for abortion. Okay. It's already in there. Senate bill. Thank you. Steny Hoyer yesterday.
But I made it clear that I wasn't negotiating. It is clear that that matter cannot be dealt with per se in the reconciliation bill. So we'll have to
close on that.
But we'll have to deal with it pretty much as it is at this point in time.
All right. Anthony Weiner, who I trust on this, because he has been, you know, a healthcare warrior
mm-hmm.
among warriors.
There's been a title change, I think, in the last 72 hours or so. I think people are becoming more confident that we're going to get this done.
I ran into him last time I was at MSNBC, Chris. It was like seeing Elvis, you know, for
Did
me.
Did you?
Yeah.
Very
healthcare
cool.
geek that I am. I was like, Congressman Weiner, hi.
I think there are a lot of members who have very little confidence in the Senate's ability to do much of anything.
See? He's with me on that. What do they exist for? Nothing.
Well, that's because he's in the House. If he were in the Senate, he'd think something entirely different.
No, but how many? I don't even know the number. Ridiculous amount of great bills that the House has passed that are all jammed up in the Senate that, you know, they can't get anything done. They're useless. I hereby dissolve them.
Yeah,
no?
Okay. Yeah, the Constitution's going to listen to you.
Whatever. By the by, so Mike Huckabee yesterday inadvertently made an argument for the health insurance mandate. Can I just say something? And this is, I think this is too early for my friend to be up listening. I've always thought this, and maybe I'm a little bit of I'm a little anal. Maybe the stick up my butt has a stick up its butt.
Okay.
But I've always thought it's hugely irresponsible not to have health insurance. And a friend of mine doesn't have health insurance, and it's a perfect example. I understand some people can't afford it, that it's tough. But you know what's happened? She's ended up having some medical problems, and friends have had to help her. I mean, she's really lucky that she has, you know, and not everybody can help their friends. It's like these Republicans, like, oh, just get your neighbors to help you, whatever. I mean, the problem is, as happens many, many times in this country, you can bankrupt your entire family. Because people that love you aren't going to let you die.
Absolutely.
However,
you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you have a choice between food and shelter and health insurance, what's the first thing that's going to go? Health insurance.
No, I know. My point is, but, you know, I've helped her a couple of times when she's gotten in, you know, disasters, and it just, and I'm saying that she recently had really like a medical thing, and she was lucky that a friend helped her. And I just think it's irresponsible. Anyway, but I'll tell you what Huckabee said about the mandate, but it's 58 minutes after the hour. All that, Eric Boulder from Media Matters and Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh yeah, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, that website, check it out. You can email us all their executive producer, Chris Lavoie. Emmy Award-winning voice deity Jim Ward, whose episode of Becker airs tonight.
On WGN. That's right. Check your local listings.
Mama, media whore extraordinaire, will be on with David Schuster today on MSNBC at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Check us all out. My Ed Show appearance is up on StephanieMiller.com as well from Friday. Okay, so we have lots to talk about, lots going on. But you know, Chris, it's always a special moment in every young man's life. When they get their first jingle on the Stephanie Miller Show, and Eric Bollert is just going to be, he'll be beside himself. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Bull hurts so good.
I get it. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, how are you?
you sound almost giddy.
I'm a Hoosier, so that makes sense.
Awesome.
Mellon Camp and everything.
Yay.
There you go. There you go. Congratulations. You've made it big time.
Quite an honor.
I love your piece this week on the Pentagon shooter. I mean, it really is amazing, isn't it, how the right wing, I mean, there have been quite a few now, you know, really pretty documented violent incidents that, you know, were driven by right-wing ideology. So they're getting sort of hysterical about not wanting to take any kind of...
Yeah, they don't want to take any blame. On the one hand, they love pushing this sort of alarmist insurrectionist rhetoric. You know, everyone's going to have to take up arms against the evil, tyrannical government. On the flip side, they're incredibly sensitive to the charge that they push this alarmist insurrectionist rhetoric. So they want to do it, but then the blowback, it freaks them out. So after the Pentagon shooter a couple of weeks ago, some of the blogs ran right out and said, oh, you know, he's a liberal. Basically saying, you know, we're not responsible for every act of vigilante political violence. But when you looked at their claim that he was a liberal, it didn't make sense either. Basically, it's just not part of the liberal dialogue or rhetoric. You know, even during the anti-war years, it was never this idea of, oh, let's take up arms against the Bush administration. You know, that's not part of the progressive agenda, but it's clearly part of the conservative agenda.
Well, I think you point out, I mean, any of his writings, he'd get a standing ovation at any teabagger rally. It's the same anti-government rhetoric.
Yeah,
that,
just very
you know,
anti-government, and they're you know, they're sort of ace in the hole was, well, he's a truther. You know, he's a 9/11 truther, but you know, I there's pretty good evidence a lot of that Tea Party stuff now overlaps with some of the truther stuff. It's all sort of this anti-government conspiracy.
Yeah, oh, they believe. It sounds to me like the teabaggers believe in everything, that the president wasn't born here, that, you know. And you're right, 9/11 for them, the truth, it fits in with the anti-government thing that started with Tim McVeigh. It's all anti-government.
Yeah, and it was a Tea Party candidate down in Texas, Deborah Medina, who got in trouble because she wouldn't, you know, sort of flatly say she didn't buy this 9/11 truther stuff. So, you know, I think they're grasping at straws, and I think they're very nervous. Of course, that they're not going to pull back on this insurrectionist rhetoric. They're just nervous about, you know, they're getting tainted with all this stuff.
Oh, by the way, Chris, a lot of people are going to think that it's a conspiracy that Jim Ward is not here yet, who
right.
is our 9/11 truther on our show, but he's just late this morning.
There you go.
Yeah. I swear to God, it's not a conspiracy. It's a coincidence. All right. Bill, Chris, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Bill Kristol on the Britt Baer Show. Eric, I think the good news is we can take comfort in the fact that Bill Kristol has always been wrong about everything ever, but here he is on health care.
Well, they do not now have the votes. If they had the votes, the Speaker would have scheduled the vote for Wednesday, and the President would be going off on his long-scheduled trip on Thursday. I worked in the White House eons ago, and you know, these foreign trips take a lot of work, and there's a huge amount of coordination with foreign governments and foreign presidents. They have schedules, too. And to postpone a trip is fairly serious. Now, it doesn't mean that they couldn't get the votes in the next week, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to keep the President here to, you know, to let it go to late next week and really try to lock it down, but it's just a fact. They do not now have the votes.
Which pretty much guarantees they have the votes.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Kristol says it.
Exactly. I mean, I would think, you know, once again, what Bill Kristol says, actually the opposite is probably true. Don't you think that, I mean, if the president has postponed his trip, I think they have to be fairly certain this is going to happen this week, don't you think?
Well, it's just the sort of the general idea of, you know, who, if you want the real insight, and it's, you know, scoop into terms of how Democrats are thinking, of course you go to Bill Kristol.
Yeah.
Because he's got such great sources, Democratic sources up on the Hill. So I don't know. I'm sure that's his wishful thinking, and we'll see. But right, I mean, you know, Bill Kristol doesn't really have much of a line on the Democratic caucus, I wouldn't think.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking after a year, and let's face it, Eric, a bunch of missed deadlines. All I'm saying is I don't think, you know, they're going to cancel a whole trip for a few more days if they didn't really think we were going to get over the finish line, is what I think.
We'll see.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show. Wow, is he defending Rahm Emanuel?
Could be.
I think his career was on the skids when you had all the stories in the Post about how smart he was and how much of a dummy the boss was. But I think he's been revived by Eric Kamassa. Any guy who does an Eastern Promises like steam room knockdown of another congressman in the full Monty deserves respect, and I think he'll get it.
Wow, I guess that's what you need to do to get respect from Charles Krauthammer.
I guess. I mean, if you know, that the whole Massa story, I mean, it was just what a media week it was. And are we going to talk right. about our friend Glenn Beck and his Eric Massa moment?
Oh,
I mean,
please.
That was one for the ages. I mean, that was Geraldo opens the vault. I mean, that was all great stuff.
Well, that's exactly it. The fact that they will use anything to try to use it as a stick against, you know, the Obama White House and the Democrats. And that was just, that was just sad, you know.
Beck had no idea what he was doing. He had done no research. He had done no prep. It was just someone who was going to say bad things about Democrats. I mean, that's sort of how Fox News books their guests in general.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can find someone who will bash Democrats, come on. But, I mean, the idea that – I mean, you guys are broadcasters. The idea you would put someone on for an hour, A, is just – usually pretty bad television. B, mm-hmm. and not having any idea what he's really going to say for an hour.
Right.
I mean, it was just a recipe for what it was.
Yep, for exactly what it was. All right. O'Reilly, as you know, has been the fairest, Eric, of the fair and balanced shows about health care.
The Factor is a signature broadcast of the Fox News Channel, and we have covered the Obamacare debate carefully and with fairness. As have most of my colleagues.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow, the signature, I like that. It's getting a little defensive, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Somebody's feeling Glenn Beck's hot, crazy breath down their neck.
And, you know, the idea of the instance for Sean Hannity has covered the health care debate in any other way besides, you know, unhinged and deranged is sort of comical. But, you know,
and by the way, that he called it Obamacare right in that sentence,
right.
We'll tell you right away.
You know, this is the niche that O'Reilly wants to carve out for himself. He's the wise old man of Fox News, and he loves that sort of handle, and it's the signature. You know, he's the McNeil heir of Fox News.
All right, and here is his crazy little brother, Glenn Beck.
I do not want the government controlling my diet. I like to be able to decide whether to stuff my face with Doritos and sit around the house in my underpants and eat all day.
No.
It's my choice. You know, there's a place in New York City. They make double fried cherry pie. Good. Now, it's been banned. Too many fats. May I just say, this pie was made for you and me.
Oh, my God.
Wow. We're just watching a televised spiral into madness, aren't we?
Well, anything that has to do with the government is now, of course, evil and awful. I mean, you know, if you know,
did we pass a law that I'm not aware of, Eric? That Glenn Beck is not allowed to sit in his underpants and eat Doritos? I think most of it would bust. What
I'm
prefer he
sure
does?
He still has that freedom to do that. But just think back a couple decades ago. I mean, when the debate was smoking, I mean, Glenn Beck would have been, you know, outraged that, you know, the government wanted to put, you know, warnings on cigarette boxes. I mean, all this stuff over the years he would have, you know, he would have been against because it had anything to do with the government and it had anything to do with, you know, protecting people and helping people live healthy lives and things like that. So it's funny just to put him back in different spots in history. I mean, he would have been opposed to everything, seatbelts, you name it. I mean, he would have been opposed to it.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact is, I mean, obesity is a huge problem in our country and in our health care system. It's like the government's not mandating anything. It's saying it would be better for you and for our healthcare system if you would make an effort to be healthy. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, and military recruiters last week, they were talking about the number one issue for folks not being able to serve is obesity, and recruits not being able to join is obesity. So,
yeah. You know, Eric, I prefer Glenn Beck's radio show in that he has more time to, you know, cover us. Yeah, there's room for more science.
Loggerhead turtle. By us putting it on the endangered species list is not going to help it, because it's just the American waters. But you know what it will help? It will stop us from drilling offshore. They are blocking our path. And I will tell you this, that a global economic holocaust is coming.
What?
I don't know when it's coming, but it is coming.
Oh, my God.
I love how he says he doesn't know when.
Yeah. Yes. And I love this. I love this story. You know how Fox News always tries to say, you know, we're a, you know, a news organization. I know. But anyway, you know, Glenn Beck's, his views don't necessarily reflect the networks.
That's right.
On the radio, on his radio show, Beck revealed in a private meeting, a Fox vice president endorsed his apocalyptic fear-mongering, telling Beck that everything you've been talking about is coming. And he went on to say, hang on, you'll love this. He said to me, Glenn, the answer is you've been saying it for a while, but we have to convince the audience this is really, really true. You are the key.
Oh,
it's like some Ghostbusters. You are the key master,
chosen
Glenn.
One. Chosen one. I mean, if people at Fox News really believe this stuff, then, you know, if the executives and the broadcasters and, I mean, if they actually believe this stuff, then it's even more frightening, actually. I mean, I would almost have more respect if they just see it as sort of this clown act. But if they're signing off on this apocalyptic stuff.
Yeah, well, maybe that in that particular Fox executive's main, you know, only job is just to pump up Glenn Beck's already enormous ego. Maybe that's his.
It's a full-time job, I assume.
Yeah.
Glenn, you are the key to us surviving a global economic holocaust. To you, Glenn.
Oh, boy.
All right. I have my producers tell me that every day. It's part of their job. All right. Eric, stay in the sidecar, won't you, for just a skosh more right-wing world, okay?
Sure.
All right. In the meantime, you know, kids, here's how I'm going to be. I may be the only one, Chris.
Really?
That survives the global economic holocaust. You know why?
Why is that?
C90X. Because.
Your abs are going to keep us from having a global economic holocaust.
Yes.
You must have limbered up for that stretch. I think that.
And you know why? Because I do the stretching DVD and the yoga DVD on my P90X program. My home workout with Tony Horton, who's going to be live in studio. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When is it? Is it this week? Is it next week? When is it? Oh, my God.
I'll check for you.
Anyway, I love it. You know, you've heard me talk about it. I get more email and calls about this than anything I think that I've talked about on the show. A lot of people are doing the P90X challenge because, I'll tell you why. One reason, it works. Results, results, results. Here's what you can do. Take the 90-day radio exclusive in-home trial with Mama. You can try it with me for the full 90 days if you aren't completely satisfied. Return it for a refund. P90X.
He's going to be with us in 2 weeks.
No. I better double up my workouts.
Yes.
Call 800-509-9FIT, or better yet, I would go right to stephaniemiller.com and click on the banner ad for P90X. 19 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bowler from Media Matters as we finish up Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't like it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Oh, gosh, Carl, I saved the most felonious till last. Carl Rove on the BBC.
I'm proud that we used techniques that broke the will of these terrorists and gave us valuable information that allowed us to foil plots such as flying airplanes into Heathrow and in London.
Oh.
Yes, I'm proud that we kept the world safer than it was by the use of these techniques.
Yeah.
They're appropriate. They're in conformity with our international requirements and with U.S. law.
Wow. Wrong. Do not pass. Go directly to The Hague.
Yeah.
What? Eric, sorry, can I not, waterboarding is illegal.
I know, right, exactly. Well, you know, it's funny, the name of his book is Courage and, what is it, Courage and Consequences.
Yes.
So maybe this is, I'm not sure what the courage he's talking about, but maybe this is it. You know, we waterboard, we torture people now. I don't know, it's weird. I guess he's not going to sort of dance around it and like he did with the Iraq stuff. Oh,
right.
If we'd known there was no WMDs, we wouldn't have gone in. But I think it was the right thing to do. So, you know, this he's just going to say, oh, it's the greatest thing ever, even though it's illegal and even though no one else does it. So,
it's the big lie theory.
The whole book tour has been this really unpleasant, distasteful, misinformation, and the amazing part to me is the press is so interested in what Karl Rove has to say. He's the guy with all the answers. I mean,
it's like Dick Cheney. It's like they allow them to say this and not go, you know, that really what you just said could be considered a war crime because, I mean, it's not something that's, you know, up for opinion. Eric, I mean, waterboarding is illegal. We said it was illegal when we prosecuted the Japanese that did it to us in World War II. You can't. I don't understand how he gets away with that.
Right, and the whole point when the debate came up was, well, this isn't quite waterboarding. This is slightly different, and we, you know, we had a memo that said you could go this far, and now it's just like, oh yeah, we did it, and we think it's great. And you're right. I mean, the press reaction, it's still this sort of gather at Karl Rove's knee and, you know, listen to him pontificate the wisdom. I mean, this is the guy who drove, you know, the last presidency into the ditch. I mean, Bush left office at 22%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so of course, you know, the press is going to turn to Karl Rove because he's the guy with all the answers.
But the thing that makes me, you know, the thing is we expect this stuff, Eric, from Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, but the fact that the media just sits there when he's allowed to repeat, oh, everybody thought he had weapons of mass destruction, everybody did, it's like it has quantitatively been proven that you twisted and lied and cherry-picked intelligence, and he keeps the old, you know, go ahead.
I've seen very little pushback whatsoever. I mean, he's made all the rounds. And, you know, it's just not polite to call out Republican lies. I mean, in a way that the press would never stand for. If Al Gore wrote a book after 2000 and just filled it with lies and went on Good Morning America or whatever and just lied about stuff, he wouldn't get away with that. But, you know, the press...
Right, it's just the fact that they allow them to keep repeating it.
Yeah,
that, oh, everybody thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It's like, yes, because we told them that he did, and we were lying.
The press has always respected Republican hardball, and they're always sort of been in awe of it. So I don't know. I think they're impressed by the fact that, you know, Karl Rove has the nerve to go on national TV and just lie all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, I think the more... Go ahead, Jim.
I said the BBC actually did talk back to him.
Oh,
she did say, no, it's illegal. It's patently illegal. Waterboarding is torture. It's illegal. No, it isn't.
Yeah, but the British sound too polite, Jim. Pardon me. I hope you don't. I don't mean to be rude. You are a war criminal. Just, it sounds nice when they say it. Anyway, all right. Eric Bollert, I think the most important thing is, how did you like your new jingle?
That was great.
Oh. I know. You have to play it cool. I understand. All right. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. See you next time.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
I think everyone's sort of burying the lead on this whole Glenn Beck Massa thing. His whole thing was he thought that the Democrats actually set him up, that because he was going to vote against health care, that this was some big plot.
Right.
But that's what Karl Rove does. That's what they do. And then he was shocked to find out that he really was a nut job. And
yeah, it's like, yeah, yeah, he's a nut job. That's
that fire was, is about to shoot out of my eyes. Oh, my God, what have I done?
All right. Jim, I guess the quote next, and I'll even give you, you know, you have the whole break to think about the hint. It's Monday. So it's a quote on guess. It's a guess the quote on Monday.
A Monday
about this whole
Rove
Cheney thing.
Wow.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I don't mind so much that you're aging. It's just the way you're shoving it down my throat.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Dave in Atlanta.
Again, was it? What?
No. Dave in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning, guys. Love you guys.
I love you.
You got me thinking. You were talking about the mandates and all the whining about mandates. And a couple of quick points to that. If you've ever seen the great Frontline documentary called Sick Around the World that looks at different healthcare systems around the world, you know, from probably six different countries, and they're all different. There's a variety of ways to do it. They're all far better and cheaper than ours. But the one thing they all have in common is mandates and subsidies for the lower income folks, and that's what makes it work. It's quite simple at its core. The larger your insurance pool, the lower the cost.
Yep.
And the other thing that grinds me is that we have this invisible mandate now. We have to pay for the uninsured, and we
pay
for them in the emergency rooms. We're doing that now. It's an invisible mandate. So.
Well, I don't know if you heard my little stick up the ass rant, but I was talking about a friend of mine that is just always, you know, having financial trouble, and she doesn't have health insurance. But every time she has a, you know, medical problem, somebody has to pay for it. A friend of hers, somebody, you know, and I just think it's irresponsible. I agree with the car insurance thing, that's mandatory, and I think health insurance should be too. But it's not that I'm not compassionate. You're right. I mean, some people need subsidies. I get that some people can't afford it. But you're right, it's the whole system that's broken.
And it's the magic of Rovian politics that gets folks who need insurance reform to vote against their own self-interest. I mean, it's amazing.
Yep. Yep. Thank
anyway,
you, honey.
Thank
you. All right, John in Durham, speaking of Rovian-type things. Hello, John.
Hey, you were talking about Al Gore versus Karl Rove. Well, Gore, of course, wrote An Inconvenient Truth. And Rove has written a book of very convenient lies and outrageous nonsense. And I want to add that his style of lying is really...
that would have been a better title, Inconvenient Lies.
Yes, well, convenient lies. I would say Republican convenient lies.
Yeah.
But you notice he tilts his head back, so he's looking down his nose at everybody. And, of course, he's lying 100% of the time. You know, one of the callers on C-SPAN, I think it was, called him up and asked him about the smear campaign against that judge in Alabama where he was involved in children's charities and they called him a pedophile.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Rove said, well, it was never in the newspapers and, you know, it was a whispering campaign, but you can't prove I did it. But that's exactly what he bragged on, that he you couldn't prove.
Well, I mean, it's the definition of a dirty trick. He started it in Texas with the whispering campaign that Ann Richards was a lesbian, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's despicable. All right, honey, thank you. Jim, it's Monday, you know, and that's...
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
that's the hint for guest quote.
Hmm.
Who wrote, let's see here. Now the revisionist floodgates have opened with the simultaneous arrival of Karl Rove's memoir and Keep America Safe, a new right-wing noise machine invented by Dick Cheney's daughter Liz and the inevitable William Kristol. This gang's rewriting of history knows few bounds. To hear them tell it, 9/11 was so completely Bill Clinton's fault that it retroactively happened while he was still in office. The Bush White House is equally blameless for the post-9/11 resurgence of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and Iran. Instead, it's President Obama who is endangering America by coddling terrorists and stopping torture. Who said that?
Slim Whitman.
No, Frank Rich. I think that's Frank Rich ever. The new Rove Cheney assault on reality is the column from yesterday.
But Slim Whitman is our best defense against invading Martians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I can't believe it.
Once the, once the Bush-Cheney failures in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Iran again come home to roost, as they undoubtedly and explosively will, someone will have to remind our amnesia-prone nation who really enabled America's enemies in the run-up to 9/11 and in its aftermath. Who said that?
Kurt Cobain.
No. Frank Rich in another humdinger of a Sunday Times column at the new Rove Cheney assault on reality. Jim, who said Obama may well make or is already making his own mistakes, and he will bear responsibility for them. But they must be seen in the context of the larger narrative that the revisionists are now working so hard to obscure. The most devastating terrorist attack on American soil did happen during Bush's term, after the White House repeatedly ignored what former CIA director George Tenet called the blinking red alarms before 9/11. It was the Bush Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld who lost bin Laden in Tora Bora, not the Obama Justice Department appointees vilified by Keep America Safe. Who said that?
Cesar Rosas.
No, this is Frank Rich. All right, I'll give you a bonus round, even though you don't deserve it. It was Bush and Cheney, with the aid of Rove's propaganda campaign, who promoted sketchy and often suspect intelligence about Saddam's imminent mushroom clouds. The ensuing Iraq War allowed those who did attack us on 9/11 to regroup in Afghanistan and beyond, and emboldened Iran, an adversary with an actual nuclear program.
Paul McCartney. Oh, straight up it is. Knacker. He's right, you know.
No.
Confused. No. Says no.
Okay. No. It was Frank Rich.
Did you get the connection there between those people?
I did.
No.
Left-handed guitarists.
Oh!
Yeah, I should have known that.
Damn you, Jim. Rich ends by saying, if we are really to keep America safe, it's essential we remember exactly which American politicians empowered Iran, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban from 2001 to 2008, and why. History will be repeated not only if we forget it, but also if we let it be rewritten by those whose ideological zealotry and boneheaded decisions have made America less safe to this day. Frank Rich, in a new, or yesterday's latest New York Times article, the new Rove Cheney assault on reality.
Brilliant on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything. Yeah, he just sat there, which was
only
hysterical.
Frank Rich can be brilliant by not saying anything. Yeah. Just by being Frank Rich.
Yes.
And bringing all his Frank Richiness.
By the way, did you see Saturday Night Live's opening sketch?
I didn't. Someone sent it to me. I'm not up that late, but I have to, yes.
It was very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Someone sent me a link.
Okay.
Thank you, because a lot of listeners know I'm a loser, and they send me important things.
And you know what? You will tweet that link.
Yes, I will. I'll tweet that link because you know me. I'm all over the technology like a bobcat.
Which is why you're giving the keynote address at the new media seminar.
When
isn't
is
it ironic?
Oh, that's this Saturday. Yikes.
You better learn about new media before
Yikes.
Then.
Oh, boy. That could be bad news for Mama. Yikes. I got to write two speeches. Yikes. That's a couple of cocktail napkins.
Two speeches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. I'm the MC. I got to give the opening thing, and then I introduce the talk rumble or thing. Something.
New media is bad news for actors, though. It means no residuals.
It's code for let's the actors again.
LA's going to be a ghost town. People will be losing their houses right and left.
You can move to Calcutta with Mama.
No.
We only had a monsoon this weekend. That was our latest calamity. There's a rabies outbreak in Central Park.
Great.
And we had a hurricane force 70-mile-an-hour winds.
Because
real estate is $10 million a square foot.
Because it's so cheap and it's so roomy. All right. All right. So I've been talking about the mandate, and I love this. Don't you love when the right-wingers inadvertently make the exact point we've been making?
Yeah.
First of all, a lot of them are reversing themselves anyway on a mandate. Mitt Romney said the mandate is why the Massachusetts system worked. And it's like, what? Oh, did I say... What?
Zoinks.
So, President Obama, as you know, has compared the idea to states' requirements that those who drive cars must purchase auto insurance. However, Republicans, of course, they're opposed to everything. So it would follow they're opposed to this because he's for it.
Mm-hmm.
With many even claiming wrongly that the mandate is unconstitutional. Mike Huckabee picked up the point on Fox News on his Huckabump program. He inadvertently then made the case for the mandate. Here's what he said. He said, no one is required to own or drive a car. You can't live and breathe without some form of health. If the requirement is that you have to have health insurance, it's not just you have to have it if you plan to be healthy or if you plan to breathe and inhale and exhale. That's the difference here.
What? Huh?
Yes. So, yes, driving is a privilege. Not everyone has to drive, but everyone has to live.
So he made the case for mandatory health insurance.
That's precisely the point. Those who choose to drive must buy insurance, but we don't necessarily choose to live.
Ooh.
As Huckabee noted, everybody has to live, and he's right. The difference is no one is forcing anyone to drive, but staying alive is an absolute necessity. Therefore, having health insurance is more cost-effective way to satisfy that goal. So he
did he mean to say that, or did he just get lost in a circular argument?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
Okay.
It's like one of those roundabouts. He missed his exit completely.
He missed
he's
his exit.
Trying to tell one of his charming, folksy stories.
Yeah. And he missed his exit.
I was like, I just got lost in the DuPont circle of circular thought there, and I'm back at, Chuck Grassley, by the way, a key player, of course, in the Senate's health care negotiations, once supported the mandate. He's and has cited the exact same auto insurance analogy Obama used. But now, of course, due to the we must stop this at all costs. Mm-hmm. He now says he's very reluctant to go along with the individual mandate. I imagine that's a death panel of some sort, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The boner on the health care.
They can pass this all on their own. The only bipartisanship that's involved in this town right now with regard to health care is there's bipartisan opposition to what they're attempting to do.
No. A lot of Republican ideas are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, did you see him on TV yesterday? He's just the oddest looking man. It's not just a fake tan. It's
the greasiness. He's very greasy.
He looks like his own wax figure at Metamucil.
Yes. But a wax figure that's just beginning to melt.
Yes.
Yeah, he looks like, but to me, I don't know, I can't explain it. He looks like a cartoon rabbit of some sort. I don't know, he has a little crease between his eyes and a crease like under his nose.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yes. Something.
Actually, obviously, I looked like Jack Haley on a bender.
Yes! Yes, the boner again.
But he acts like the Cowardly Lion.
Exactly.
Well, this is gross too big!
If she had 216 votes, this bill would be long gone. And remember, they tried to do this in June and July last year. If they had the votes, then it'd be law. They tried to pass it in September, October, November, December, January, February. Guess what? They don't have the votes.
Sounds like he's getting a little panicky.
I
think they have the votes.
They should give up now. They should just stop, because there's no point in it, because you're going to lose.
Don't you love when they just do the same talking points over and over? I heard him say yesterday, we have the best healthcare system in the world. You're the best healthcare system in the world. It's like, and nowhere in the media ever says, well, no, actually, I think, what are we, like 37th?
Yeah.
No,
let's write
not
that
really.
Down. The best healthcare system in the world. I've never heard that before.
Wow, that's a new idea.
What a revelation. Our healthcare is the best in the world,
if you can
afford
it.
Yeah. But the system sucks.
Yes. 45 minutes after the hour. They're saying this will be the death of the Democratic Party.
Uh-huh.
We'll tell you, what's up with the whole Republican Party teabagger thing as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show?
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
1-800-STEP-1-2. Al, in Gary, Indiana, you make my body rock. Good morning, Al.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about, these President Bush and Roe frat boy pranks that they brought to the White House for 8 years. You know that frat pledge paddle? That big wide paddle that fraternities use.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Exactly.
The one in Animal House or whatever.
The one that looks like a big cricket paddle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you look at the waterboard pictures closely and magnify them, you can see the Greek letters Lambda Chi etched into that thing.
Oh.
But, you know, as far as this healthcare problem goes, the marketplace, you know, they constantly harp on that marketplace, how important it is, blah, blah, blah. I'd point to decades ago we had a marketplace where there were laws and regulations required, money exchanged hands, entrepreneurs were involved, and we realized that that marketplace was abhorrent to the country, and that marketplace was slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Good comparison there. You know, yeah. Not all marketplaces and not all you know, democracy is not necessarily capitalism.
Yep, I hear you. Yeah, that worked economically. That worked spectacularly well.
Yeah.
For the slave owners. How about if I pay you zero? That would work best for me. All right. The health of the Jim. This is it. Pay attention. This week, it's this is it. It's healthcare week. That's it. And we're done.
I wish it were it a year ago.
Yeah.
I know.
And all what heights we'll hit on with the show. This is it.
The insurance companies.
One in my room.
Sorry.
Still,
go on.
The insurance companies, of course, still, you know, they're getting panicky. You can tell when they're getting panicky. Republicans are getting panicky that we must be close. I
also,
love this
watch the stock market. When insurance stocks go down, that means people are
it's good
scared.
It means it's good for people.
Mm-hmm.
The top insurance lobbyist, she said the industry won't point fingers, and then she immediately blamed hospitals for higher premiums on Fox News. So, you know, they're at the what do you call it, AHIP insurance conference. What's her name? Karen, whatever. She's the top insurance company lobbyist.
Mm.
She said health insurers were very concerned about insurance premiums and the trajectory of healthcare spending, promised the industry remain committed to controlling costs. We understand that also. That begins also with us, so we're fully committed to cost containment. So then just a few hours later, she goes on Fox News with Neil Cavuto and blamed hospitals, doctors, and the pharmaceutical industry for rising costs. And then she falsely also claimed that insurers cannot negotiate prices with providers, which is not
true. That's Nathan Thurm's sister?
It's not me. It's him. Right?
In fact, the insurer's own conference, the executive director of the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, took insurers to task for overpaying hospitals and doctors and criticized the industry for failing to use their market power.
You think I don't know that?
Reimbursement.
Of course I know that.
The sweaty insurance executive.
Uh-huh.
All right. Representative Eric Cantor furiously hoping something will stop health.
And in America, we have a longstanding tradition not to allow taxpayer dollars to fund abortion services. And we cannot see the Senate bill passing and then have that tradition of not allowing government funding to pay for abortion services survive.
It's not tradition. It's the law. Why is he calling it a tradition?
Well, the law is not a tradition, at least not where I come from.
Oh, my God. It's the law, Eric.
We don't believe in laws.
Here he is, shooting a spitball from the back of the room again.
I know right now the Speaker does not have the votes, and I know the President and the Speaker are going to go about the next several days trying to convince their members to vote on a bill the American people have rejected.
By American people, I mean the insurance industry. Where's my check?
All right.
My Adam's apple is a pre-existing condition.
You know what? We have.
Thing with health care is we could, if we all had health care, Mitch McConnell could get an upper lip and Eric Cantor could get his enormous Adam's apple removed. Everyone
or at least
would win.
Get a trachea shave.
Something. Yes, Chris.
You know what? We have Tex in North Carolina. He wants to talk about an insurance mandate.
Hello, Tex.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I own a small business here in Marion, North Carolina, and I can't wait for this health care bill to pass. And the reason why is, you know, I've got 20 employees. Do you know how much it costs to provide health insurance for them?
Yes, I know.
A lot. A lot. And the way I've been looking at this thing, it's going to be easier for me to pay the fine than to provide them with that health insurance. So I'm going to drop them, guys.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to let them go into the pool. And, you know, if the taxpayers want to help me out and subsidize what I've been subsidizing for years, amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Stoked.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Back to freerepublic.com now. All right. Many Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, have given us very helpful advice on how this will. We should not do this. Do not pass health care. You'll pay the price politically. Don't do it. Well, as it turns out, it seems to me a little bit of disarray in the Republican Party as well. So the Politico just did a survey on the Tea Party. And there could be an implosion on the Republican side in these next elections, in my opinion, according to this. Politico found Tea Party activists unhappy with many of the biggest names in the Republican Party. Oh, dear. That could complicate GOP plans to harness the energy of the Tea Parties as they head into the November midterms. In a survey of teabaggers, Senator John McCain was the Republican most cited as a disappointment. That would be the Republican candidate for president this last time. Other congressional Republicans consider disappointments Senator Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins, and Olympia Snowe of Maine, and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California. Anyone you see with a skosh of, the whiff of moderation on them is not a teabagger. Also receiving multiple votes were two prominent party spokesmen, Mitch McConnell and Michael Steele. They don't like them either.
Really? The head of the RNC they don't like. Okay, then.
Two possible candidates for the party's 2012 presidential nomination. Also, Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee. No.
Computer says no.
Democrats don't like them.
Wow.
Those surveyed made it clear they hold greater disdain for Democrats, but they're also strongly opposed to tolerating Republican politicians who stray even slightly from the principles of the Tea Party.
They're going to move so far to the right that they lose the independents. And then they'll be stuck with a fractured Republican Party with the libertarians behind Ron Paul and the extreme right-wing nut jobs.
Yeah, I mean, they look to me like they're in a bit of a disarray, Jim, Ron Paul wins the CPAC poll.
Yeah.
And he gets booed at the conservative conference.
By the very same people who voted for him.
For the most part, the principles the teabaggers say are fiscal restraint, limited government, but for a smaller group, they include conservative social issues and hawkish foreign policy. So they're having more trouble, I think, than we are getting some sort of coherent, asked to rate on a 10-point scale the extent a series of conservative figures embodied the principles underpinning the Tea Party movement. The highest grades went to Glenn Beck, Michelle Malkin, and Andrew Breitbart, people that aren't running for anything. So I'm just saying, I think that may bode well for us in the next election cycle. 58 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack is next. It includes a story about Christopher Walken and farting.
Christopher Walken?
Wow. Jim Ward's time has come. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. Mama on the Ed Show from MSNBC on Friday is up in the video section.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, it's right near the bottom of the page there.
No one watches TV live anymore. You check it out on the YouTubes. Mama will be
and
on
the Hulus and the MSNBC.
And the Tutus, exactly.
And the Tootsies.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Mama will be on MSNBC with our friend David Schuster today at 3:30 Eastern Time as my media whoring continues. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, today's this hour brought to you by Carbonite. Mama loves her some Carbonite. Your computer could crash at any time. That's why I urge you to get Carbonite online backup today. That's what I use. Don't wait. Here's my special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription if you use the offer code Stephanie. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. We had the Reverend Jim Wallace on the Stephanie Miller Show on Friday, who is the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show. A lot of people taking up his campaign against Glenn Beck.
The Reverend Jim Wallace,
the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show,
who leads the Christian anti-poverty group Sojourners, called on Christians to leave Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck said, "Social justice is a perversion of the gospel. Since you're calling on Christians to leave all of our churches, and you're saying it's a perversion of the gospel, I'm asking Christians to leave you, Glenn."
Turn off your
televisions. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off.
I have invited Glenn to a conversation about whether social justice is a perversion of the gospel or at the heart of it.
It sounds intimidating.
Run away! Run away!
I'm sorry. Communists and the Nazis both subscribe to one philosophy, social justice.
Huh? What is he even basing that on, that it's the basis for Nazism or communism?
The Glenn Beck Bible.
I write your unholy name thrice in blood.
I think you don't want to be saying this. I hope you don't.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Listener Ken in Cleveland, thank you for that delightful montage. By the way, oh, here's the best news, Jim, out of the teabagger at the political survey about who they like in the Republican Party. Sarah Palin, they like.
Mm, good.
Tea Party activist. However, check this out. She got a high praise and high marks from respondents. Sarah Palin is a popular person right now, but she needs to be under the wing of an educated, book smart, but not so much university professor smart person to learn how this is so much deeper than knowing details related to foreign and domestic policy issues. I think her education would excel under the guidance of Glenn Beck.
Oh my God! Glenn Beck was a former morning zoo host.
That's the teabagger's favorite candidate for president, Sarah Palin. If she just spends a little more time in front of Glenn Beck's chalkboard,
mm-hmm.
and then everything will be...
That's how you know he's smart. He's got a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He appeared in a TV commercial with a chimpanzee.
And they couldn't tell which was which.
Good buddy every morning.
All right. Julie sends me a story that, speaking of politics in the next election cycle, something else we might have missed in the Massachusetts race with the, the senator fold.
Senator.
Yeah. Scott Brown is a senator fold, as you know. Gawker reports, oh dear, that in the buildup to the Massachusetts special election, Democrats failed to catch a story that could have potentially reversed the race's outcome, a 10-year-old harassment suit against Senator Scott Brown.
Uh-oh.
As it turns out, Glenn Beck might have been right about something. Remember he said, I want this guy watched? This is a sexual harassment scandal waiting to happen.
Is it a dead woman or a live boy?
And was he wearing the pink shorts?
It's a live woman, which is why it wasn't big enough.
Okay.
In 2000, Brown was accused of harassing a female campaign worker he had hired 12 years earlier and smearing her reputation around town with forged letters and emails, according to a complaint filed by plaintiff Jennifer Firth. Brown engaged in offensive conduct that caused her to quit his campaign. He then tried to defame and humiliate her by spreading rumors to her colleagues that she had made sexual advances towards him during his campaign.
Wow, that's fairly serious stuff.
It seems like it, doesn't it? That was one Glenn Beck conspiracy theory that panned out. All right. Jim, you lived in Germany for a while.
Yes.
Too bad there was no nude hiking trail when you were there.
Mm.
Germany's Harz Mountains, they are heavy.
Harz Mountains.
Exactly. There's a trail geared for nudist walkers to open in May. The path will stretch 18 kilometers unless there's significant shrinkage. The hiking trail, it's another milestone in the long-established tradition of naturism. Were they engaging in that when you were there?
There's a lot of that in Germany, FKK, they call it, Freie Körperkultur.
Yeah,
apparently, vacations are becoming a more mainstream across the world. We have vacation next week. I may make mine a vacation. I'm not sure where.
Maybe Germany.
Yeah, they've always been fairly... relaxed about nudity in Germany.
Apparently,
little kids run around naked all the time.
In Munich, there's a huge city park with a big lake and the nude sunbathing all over that lake.
I don't have the self-esteem for that. One place I will not be going is Miami. Devotees of a Miami man who claims to practice a traditional African religion say they were sickened when they were forced to ingest the mucus of a giant African snail.
That
one made me puke.
Religion shouldn't make you eat anything.
Well, that's what Catholicism does.
I rest my case.
Yeah. That took a while in Catholic school. Is it really?
The body of a 2,000-year-old dead guy.
Bodies is actual
but it,
body.
But it tastes like a cracker.
I don't want to drink blood. Yeah, when you're in Catholic school, you're just a kid. It seems like one of those haunted houses where they, they put your hand in, hard-boiled eggs.
Spaghetti.
It's eyeballs. It's
brains.
Blood. It's brains. Yeah.
Cooked spaghetti is brains. Yeah.
Exactly. The cooked spaghetti was always the brains.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Maybe
and then they had to. It's not actually blood.
Right.
Okay. All right. Wow. Jim,
snail
this
mucus.
Is... this is, if ever there was a story that had your name on it, Julie sends us... Steph, I've never heard of the movie Kangaroo Jack, but when I saw Flatulence and Chris Walken in the same story, duty compelled me to send this immediately, lest the Stephanie Miller newscasts be scooped by some other fart joke radio show.
like Glenn Beck's old show?
Anthony Anderson had a little tale to tell about working with Christopher Walken on the set of Kangaroo Jack. I didn't see this movie. Apparently, Jim Walken walked around the set with his with a microcassette recorder, and he would fart into the microcassette. And then during our close-ups, he would play his farts while we were on screen to break Jerry O'Connell and myself. It worked. It's hard to keep a straight face when you're listening to Christopher Walken's flatulence on a soundstage. And
my farts sound like cowbell.
That's all they needed, I'm guessing.
I need more beans.
More beans and more cowbell.
Give me some cabbage.
All right. That is an odd story.
I put my pants on like everyone else. One leg at a time. But when I do, I fart. It sounds like cowbell.
Right. I'll bet you his farts do sound like cowbell.
And fine champagne.
There's a little Chandon. All right. Okay. Stars on Ice is... what is that? Jerry... So, Johnny Weir, he's the Olympian, correct?
The flamboyant one.
Yeah.
Yes, he has been he is not going to be playing in any of their reindeer games.
Really?
Apparently. The Stars on Ice, because he is not family friendly. Yes, GLAAD reports that sponsors have refused to allow American figure skater Johnny Weir to join the Stars on Ice because they deemed him not family friendly. Weir, a three-time national champion, has never officially announced his sexual orientation. He has garnered a significant amount of LGBT fans and is also known for his flashy costumes.
You know, my family rather enjoyed watching him, so he has family values.
Stars on Ice seems to have barred him because of his perceived sexual orientation.
He's
a skater. I mean, number one.
He's the Adam Lambert of the skating world, apparently.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's very out there.
However...
But he's very entertaining to watch. He's a great skater.
Yeah,
he's
they're shocked to find that there's gayness in skating.
Yeah, that's a. Apparently that was a shock to the Stars on Ice tour.
Someone better tell Brian Boitano.
What would Brian Boitano
what would he do?
Bye.
Yes, men that like to wear tights and... Oh, all right. And I don't know, giant frilly whatever. I don't know, but they're sort of... they're normally made of... What is that material?
Spandex?
Chin.
No, the...
Chins. Chiffon?
I don't know. It's like the shirt on Seinfeld, but they're all those kinds of shirts.
It's a puffy shirt.
Anyway, it's a puffy shirt. Sport. He is extremely involved with his own family. He's putting his younger brother through college and supports the family financially because his father's disability prohibits him from working. But apparently they don't want those kind of families.
No.
Except the Stars on Ice. His family doesn't count, I guess, in terms of being family friendly. Hmm. All right. Here's some furniture to buy. 22 pieces of custom-made furniture Michael Jackson commissioned for his London home are going on the auction block. Are you ready for what's available? There is a... Have you ever noticed that people with the most money have the worst possible taste?
Yes.
Like Rush Limbaugh.
Have you seen Rush Limbaugh's apartment?
Oh, my God.
That's what I said for someone that does so much gay bashing. Somebody found a fabulous French gay designer. I mean, if Liberace weren't already dead, he'd kill for that place.
Uh-huh. I wish my brother George was here to decorate my apartment. George is even gayer than I am.
Okay.
Well,
so
you know... The lady doth protest too much, methinks. I think.
It's, yeah. Yes. Michael Jackson's selling, let's see, a gilded red velvet sofa that seats 9, a leopard print chair trimmed with ostrich feathers.
Oh, come on.
Who needs a sofa that seats 9?
This is like Cajou Fall. What?
Because you need something that goes next to the leopard print chair trimmed with ostrich feathers.
I think Fred Schneider designed this apartment.
No, Fred Schneider has taste.
And a pair of velvet, this is something Glenn Beck might buy, a pair of velvet armchairs embroidered with gold eagles are also among the offerings. Or John Ashcroft, because he likes to let the eagle fly.
Let the eagle soar.
Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before. From Rocky Coast
to Golden Shore.
No.
I were king of the forest.
17 minutes after the hour. Back with more Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Well, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, folks. Stephanie Miller here. You know, in 5,000 years, governments and currencies have come and gone, but gold remains real money. That kind of stability is very desirable in times like these. That's why you should call my friends at ITM Trading. ITM has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. I have some historic Double Eagle gold coins from ITM. You should, too. ITM's been safely delivering gold and other precious metals for almost 15 years. We're all hopeful about our country's finances, but hope may not be enough. In this economy, you've got to think ahead. I like to take my cues from large, sophisticated buyers, and with China and India buying up tons of gold recently, I think gold's an important diversification right now. Call the experts at ITM Trading, a loyal sponsor of my program for over 4 years now. They'll answer all your questions and send you a free information packet detailing what you need to know about owning gold. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jeff in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Morning.
Morning.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Maybe you
can't
maybe
breathe without you.
I know.
Love you more than air.
You and David, perhaps you guys could really hammer, you know, all of these, all of a sudden, anti-government teabaggers, you know, by saying, don't drive on your on these socialist government roads. I mean, I think they really need to be hammered on, because they've had a whole year repeating all this nonsense, whipping everybody up, all their.
Well, they're right about one thing. Government didn't work under George Bush, so that's, I was anti-government then, too.
Yeah, how convenient that they forget 8 years of, you know, actually 16 years of all these problems.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Thank you, honey. Hey, Chris.
So what? Hey, huh?
What?
No, you said hey. What?
I don't mean to make you guys jealous, but my boys in New York here, you mm-hmm. know, Sean and my posse, yeah. Sean and Bob, and I like them way better than you guys. You know why? Because they fix stuff for me. He put my watch, my sports watch, on the right time. Because you know me, I'm like a little technologically impaired, and daylight savings is like a crisis of epic proportions for me.
Math is hard.
It's changing a lot of things on the
you're
time.
You're such a girl.
Yeah, I talk like a truck driver, except when I need something fixed. And I'm like, Bob, I don't know when to fix the thing. It's a different time now. All right.
Can I tell you, I need a nap. Daylight savings time can bite me.
Yeah, it sucks. It was dark when I woke up this morning. It was already a monsoon here all weekend, Jim.
Talking about getting rid of it because it's just counterproductive. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There aren't any family farms anymore. They're all giant corporations.
It serves absolutely no purpose whatsoever except to screw up my internal clock.
And, hello, you know what? It's a plot against people that are technologically impaired like me. You have too many things to change then.
You need an analog watch. You really do.
If you have to read the instruction manual to change the time,
then you don't deserve one.
Yeah. That's my biggest thing, is that my sports watch, I'm like, oh no, now what am I going to do?
Hold this button for 13 seconds while jumping up and down on one foot.
Can I say there's only one good thing about my cable company, Slime Porner?
What?
That's the only thing that changes itself magically. Is
yes, automatically.
Oh, and your cell
phone. Boxes.
And your cell phone does.
And your computer.
Your computer
and
does,
your
too.
Atomic clock, if you have one.
Okay, well, anyway, other than that.
I just bought a new alarm clock that automatically switches for daylight savings time. That's kind of impressive.
There goes my
excuse
for being late.
You are such a morning radio geek. No one gets excited about their alarm clock.
I set three alarm clocks to get up for this damn show.
I only need one, and you know why? Because it's the Burgess Meredith one that I've had since I started morning radio in the, you know.
You bum! Get up, you lazy son of a bitch! I said wake up, you loser!
Call me Mickey.
All right. Then I know it's time for my raw eggs.
I don't think that Burgess Meredith sounded like that in The Twilight Zone.
There was so much time.
All right. We were talking about Rush Limbaugh's incredibly gaudy apartment here in New York before the break. I said to Ed Schultz, we both have successful radio shows. One thing I learned, we need to start taking a lot more OxyContin, apparently, to afford an apartment like that. The latest tragedy out of the Corey Haim thing is his name was found on a fraudulent prescription of a powerful painkiller that authorities said Friday was obtained through a major drug ring. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this. Remember, the prescription drugs is one of the big problems that people don't talk about.
Absolutely.
You know?
Just because they're legal doesn't make them any less safe or any less likely to kill you if you overdose on them.
Right. All the right wingers were trying to defend Rush. They were like, oh, well, it's prescription.
There are drug interactions you have to watch out for.
Yeah, they try to make it sound like it wasn't. He's not really a drug addict because it was prescription.
No, prescription drugs.
Well, the doctor doesn't prescribe a thousand.
Like he's buying some powder from a Negro. It says prescription, right?
That's
there.
Exactly what their point.
It's from the pharmaceutical company.
If you have
companies.
To buy powder from a Negro, it's bad.
Oh,
if you can send Consuela.
It's from the
Walmart parking lot.
Companies. Only
then it's
good.
Good.
Things. Only good things come from the pharmaceutical companies.
It's a good thing. It's a good kind of drug addiction, then. All right.
Not like it grows in nature. You can't trust that.
Somebody, unless Merck makes it, then it's
right.
It's exactly. And I think if Negroes are involved, then you know that it's a bad.
Stop saying that word.
Jim started it.
I know. It used to be the accepted term.
I know.
When I was
but it's not now.
I know, because of the way LBJ pronounced it. It sounded too close to the other N-word. Ironically, he was the greatest civil rights proponent we've had since Lincoln.
Here's a useless celebrity fun fact, which I have no idea why I'm sharing it with you, just because. In a radio interview, Jessica Simpson reveals that she does not brush her teeth.
What?
Oh.
Oh, and John Mayer kissed that?
Your mouth is not a wonderland.
Yeah, her mouth is not a wonderland.
No. Her mouth is a festering cesspool of disease.
She said, I just use Listerine, and sometimes I'll use my sweater.
What?
What?
Huh?
What? I don't know.
So her sweater is covered with plaque?
Is she high?
29 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a cold-hearted bitch. But is she crazy?
Yes.
Computer 38.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Don't forget Charlie Pierce tomorrow, Boston Globe writer, humorist extraordinaire on the Big Tuesday Show.
Yes.
Oh, someone was saying we killed Peter Graves.
Oh, I heard that.
Why? How?
Because we were, because of the Eric Massa thing, we were doing Peter Graves lines from Airplane, and then he died. He passed away over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
I loved
Yesterday.
Peter Graves. Well, I loved Mission Impossible so much.
I loved A&E's biography.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Mission Impossible was just the whole tape to self-destructing was the highlight of my week when I was a tot.
They had been doing some commercials for something, and I saw him. Oh, God, he looks terrible. He looks like he's at death's door.
Oh, really?
And the weird thing is MSNBC kept cutting the spot short. It was one of those things that never went all the way through the entire spot, and that just struck me as odd. When it was almost like a premonition of him.
Yep. Were you a Mission Impossible? My brother and I loved it when we were growing up. Did you watch? Do we have the Mission Impossible theme? Is that is that our conspiracy
that
music?
I think
it is.
Yeah.
I loved it. Didn't you?
Yep.
I never knew how they could hear the plot over this music though.
I was too young.
Your mission to I can't hear you over that damn what? Your mission, should you just accept it?
It was actually after my bedtime, theoretically. But
You're the only.
But you didn't have any rules in your house, apparently.
That's
no,
right.
My parents were old. My parents had lost the will to live by the time
and
they had us.
They're running around naked all the time. And so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, my parents were really old when they had us, so we got away with murder.
And you had a name.
They'd be like, when did you get home? I'm like, when did you go to bed? 9. Oh, I was 9:20.
That was, I think, wasn't it on at 9:30?
Yeah, I think so.
On ABC.
Which made it even more illicit that we were
right.
watching it.
Well, your nanny
but just the theme I loved.
But,
then it was just the whole, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is mm-hmm. it, why I can't, it'll self-destruct.
Oh,
I missed the last part of it.
I saw the beginning of it a lot. I don't think I ever was allowed to sit through an entire episode.
which were his lines we were quoting in the Mass? I think, oh, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes.
Have you ever been
in a Turkish prison?
Do you like gladiator movies?
You like movies about gladiators?
He was Captain Over, right?
Yes. Roger, Roger.
From Airplane. Roger that, Captain Over.
Roger, Victor, Victor.
Over
Roger, Roger.
What's your Victor? Yeah, exactly. What's your Victor, Victor? Ah, can't get enough Airplane.
Over, under,
okay.
under, done.
All right. And then when the air traffic controller kid in JFK came up, we were quoting the other guy, the air traffic controller. Something. It's a bird? Is it that guy?
Oh, I can make a hat, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
And Leon is getting larger.
That made me snort. All right, we're mentioning before the break the Jessica Simpson does not brush her teeth story.
Man, that one made me puke.
And I did venture to say that probably grosses her dad out when he's kissing her. But you know what made me think of it? Did you see the picture of Ryan O'Neal and Tatum O'Neal kissing? And just entirely too
much tongue.
Yeah, entirely too Angelina Jolie and her brother kind of kissing.
Mm-hmm.
At some Tatum and Ryan O'Neal's love-hate relationship was set back to love last night in Los Angeles at the Runaways premiere. It was from the red carpet, but the lips are way too. It's too much of a kiss.
What if there are pictures of Scott Brown with his hot daughters there?
That's icky in that kind of Donald Trump, look at how huge my daughter's rack is kind of way.
Rack. Didn't,
huge. Huge.
Didn't Ryan O'Neal hit on Tatum at
Farrah Fawcett's funeral? You can understand.
Was
he was grief-stricken. You know, anybody when someone dies, he said he was hitting on a Swedish woman who turned out to be his daughter. He didn't know it was her because he hadn't seen her in quite some time. So you can understand the tongue kissing when you haven't seen family members. You know, we try to be liberal and non-judgmental, but that makes me puke the whole...
You can't help but be judgmental.
Who else is weird?
That?
Who else are we thinking of that's weird about their daughter? Not just... not Donald Trump. I'm trying to think of someone else. Joe Simpson, but also... who am I thinking
Scott
of?
Scott Brown.
Yeah, Scott Brown, about how it's hot, available daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Whatever.
But what's his name? Billy Cyrus. It's just, it's always a little, it's weird. My parents found me very, very unattractive, and that's the way it should be, in my opinion. My dad thought I was a unibrowed wolf child, which is why I was not in any of the campaign pictures, and that's the way it should be. You should gross your parents out.
They hid you behind your sisters whenever they had to bring you up on stage.
My dad thought I looked like an Armenian dude, like most people did.
Put a bag over your head. It's the unknown daughter. Make you wear a Richard Nixon mask or something.
Yeah, that's to make me more attractive.
Right.
All right.
Those jowls are hot.
Madonna doesn't think a wife should withhold sex from a sloppy husband. Well, she doesn't think you should withhold sex ever because she's a
slut. She's a slut. Look at her slut.
I had a slut friend who had a horrible marriage, who hated her husband, and she was like, and I was like, do you still have sex? She's like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna go without sex. And I'm just, you know, some women. She goes, why would I punish myself? Madonna says she believes a wife should dispose of her late husband's prosthetic leg to spare the feelings of the wife's current mate. This is from this new Seinfeld show, apparently. The Marriage Ref?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
That I have no desire to see that show at all.
It looks really uncomfortable.
It does. It really does.
That's what Larry David said. He said, this is the most uncomfortable hour I've ever spent.
Wow. That's saying something.
Because his whole life is a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Well, exactly. I mean, why do they have, on one panel, they had Larry David, they had Madonna, and they had Ricky Gervais giving marriage advice. Those three people should not be giving marriage advice.
Maybe that's part of the joke. Yeah. Oh, and Alec Baldwin was on one, too.
Yeah.
Because he had a very placid divorce.
Warren Beatty?
Yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of slut, look at her. Jersey Shore's J-Wow.
Yes.
I don't know if she's your favorite, Chris. I know you're partial to Snooki.
I hate all of them, but yes, I'm partial to Snooki.
This is, I don't know, from some snarky website. Jersey Shore's Jay Wow shocked the living out of people by not acting like a drunken whore at a recent club appearance. Turns out MTV is essentially trying to stop the rotation of the earth. Jenny J-Wow Farley made an appearance at the estate in Boston over the weekend. Much to everyone's surprise, the reality starlet stayed away from adult beverages and was heard saying it was because MTV doesn't want the cast to drink. Yeah, they might not be as classy if they were
right. Stay classy,
drink.
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. You remember somebody once tried to get a refund. What was it, Chris, the Blue State Ball that I went to?
Yes.
They tried to get a refund because I did not act like the drunken whore that's been advertised on the show. They were like, what? I don't understand. This is not...
Did you have in your rider that free drinks must be provided?
Well, I was drinking. I just wasn't acting whory enough for him.
So you should have been all more right. Loose.
Yes. Well, I did have a pole. I had a pole dancing incident at the last Blue State Ball, so I did my best.
Yeah, and you almost brought down the tent.
Yes. I almost killed the entire front row. I'm too spazzy to act like a whore. The ratings for Jay Leno's return to were very good. But, you know, the first week he got a lot of publicity, obviously. Mm-hmm. He was back. So he averaged 5.6 million viewers. Letterman had 3.7. The second week it was much closer, though. Leno averaging 4.3 million viewers and Letterman had 4. And Leno usually beat Letterman by about 1.5 million during their last season of competition. So they're saying it's much more, much more even now that he's back. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see what happens with him. James Brown's body is missing. What?
They were looking hot.
Maybe
now.
They put someone
with
Papa in a brand new bag somewhere. Where is Papa?
Papa's got a brand new casket.
Oh.
Papa has a brand new casket somewhere, but we don't know where. This is a weird story. James Brown's body is missing from his its crypt, according to his daughter. The remains of the singer were being held at his daughter Deanna's house in South Carolina while a public mausoleum is being prepared. You know what? This has a whiff of the Tammy Wynette to me, Chris.
Yes, it does.
Maybe they replaced it with John Brown's body.
Hey.
Nobody knows.
Hey.
Yeah. And, remember the battling siblings in the Wynette thing? They were all fighting over the body?
Yes, they were.
It was a little unseemly.
Yes, it was.
However, Rhonda LaPettit, one of James' illegitimate daughters. Oh, by the way, she's one of a dozen people that came forward after James after his death to claim to be his children.
Oh, no.
So she claims the body of the singer has gone missing to
up
prevent
near,
her from...
Up near Brainerd?
Apparently down near Brainerd, where all the malfeasance occurs.
It's weekend at Jimmy's.
It is weekend at Jimmy's. She said it's gone missing to prevent her from carrying out an autopsy to determine the true cause of death. She's convinced that he was killed by people trying to get his money. She said, "My daddy's body has disappeared. I have no clue where it was taken, but I need to know where. I'm convinced his death was suspicious, and I want the people responsible brought to justice." She said, "I cannot understand why an autopsy." He said, "The only way to do that is to exhume his body and have an autopsy. I can't understand why one has never been conducted." Which you remember, Chris, the Wynette daughters, remember they were fighting
that's
over...
That's exactly what happened.
Yes, they wanted to dig her up, right?
Yes they
because,
did.
Because they wanted an autopsy because they thought the guy that married her was right?
It was basically so that they could get more money.
Do we have a clip?
Jim, funny you should ask.
Coming soon to a theater near you, it's Tammy Wynette and her three daughters in Weekend at Tammy's.
Come on, Mama, you can still sing.
Help me prop her up.
Come on, Mama.
Get up, Mama.
Make us some more money, Mama.
Put the guitar in her hand.
Mama, you just ain't trying.
Strum, Mama, strum.
Whee, Mama, another road trip. Ain't this fun?
Mama, your turn to dance. You know, Mama's starting to stink here in the sun.
I know. Let's take her water skiing.
Yeah. You're doing great, Mama. Good.
I'm so happy since we dug Mama back up, aren't you?
Yeah, she's going to make us a lot more money.
Look out, Mama.
Don't forget to turn, Mama.
Weekend at Tammy's, coming soon to a theater near you.
One of the reasons we got fired from the last show.
Just when you thought there'd never be another reason to play that bit again.
Anytime there are greedy sons or daughters out there trying to get money from their parents, that bit's going to be coming out.
Some lines stick in our minds for years. Don't forget to turn, Mama.
Strong, Mama, strong.
And also, I believe Mama's begun to turn.
Turn.
Is that the potato salad or is that Mama?
Oh, boy.
45 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy.
Your voice was a lot higher back then.
Yes, it was. What happened?
Me?
Yes, yours.
We don't know. I'm in my old Lucy years.
Apparently.
Oh, Mr. Carmichael. Whatever. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The politics of dancing are now in this message on the stage.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris and Yankton writes, Steph, I always laugh at your references to your old Lucy phase. For some reason, it never fails to entertain her. Oh, Ricky. Did sound progressively more like Harvey Fierstein as time went by. That's true. I don't know what happened. And I don't even smoke. Why? I'm almost in B. Arthur register
now. I just want to be loved. Is that about wrong?
Over the weekend, I was watching an episode of the Lucy and Desi Comedy Hour. Don't ask me why. And they were doing a flashback to when Lucy and Ricky met on a boat to Cuba, and it was Lucy in her old Lucy voice trying to play really, really young Lucy. And it was sad.
Oh, Ricky, wah. Wah.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy, what's wrong with your voice? Are you having an operation to turn into a man?
What's a man?
A man?
It was from smoking all those Chesterfield cigarettes that were a sponsor of I Love Lucy.
I always get the name wrong in the old Lucy show. It's Mr. McGillicuddy, right?
No, that's her maiden name. Mr. Carmichael.
Okay, yeah, it was Mr. Carmichael.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mr. Carmichael. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Chesterfield's, right. Not a cough and a carload. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend you smoke Chesterfield's. The 5th doctor is dead.
Okay. There's a great story about how even the Republicans think Jim DeMint's an asshat, which I love. Senator Jim DeMint, because, you know, he's really sucking up to the teabaggers.
Right.
He's almost snorkeling the teabaggers, if I don't mind, if I don't say so.
Can he do that?
I think so. I got to Google it. Senator Jim DeMint making a bid to be the Tea Party movement's best friend in Washington. Hardly coincidence that the South Carolina Republican finds himself with few friends in his own workplace. Many GOP senators privately scoff at DeMint's showboating opportunists and pain in certain parts of the anatomy. Even in the on-the-record interview, some Republican senators said that DeMint does not appreciate the need for a successful party to widen its ideological and geographic base beyond the deeply conservative southern state that he represents. Further rankling his colleagues, he's using his PAC committee to rate senators on just how conservative they are. I love this. So, surprisingly, he's the only senator that gets 100% rating on his own. Chris, can't we do something on StephanieMiller.com about who the best radio hosts are?
Sure. Let's have an online poll.
Stephanie Miller got 100% and the only one on StephanieMiller.com. That's weird. His new his stump mantra, I love this. I support him in this. I'm a new Jim DeMint fan. He keeps saying, I'd rather have 30 Marco Rubios than 60 Arlen Specters. And I say, yes, you know what, you need to get a Republican Party so, you know, pure and crystallized
yes.
and rare, like blue diamonds, like just very few. In fact, you know what, the fewer the better of you, because that's how you know you're really precious and rare.
You need 100% ideological purity.
Yes,
no
yes,
deviation.
You want quality, not quantity, no.
Says
no. Yes, to quality.
Says yes.
Okay. Marco.
Rubio.
Yeah, whatever. Sure, 30 of them.
I get the impression he's not a big fan of the fish tacos.
Oh.
Really?
Dear.
The Marco Rubio? Isn't he? He's teabagging the bejesus out of Charlie Crist, isn't he? He's ahead now, right?
I think Charlie Crist doesn't like the fish tacos either.
I'm asking about polling, for God's sakes. Try to stay
I'm sure
topic.
Crist has asked about polling many times.
He's about 30 points ahead, isn't he? of Charlie Crist?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Charlie Crist isn't doing well with polling.
In a completely unrelated story, Eric Massa is back in the House Ethics Committee.
I think Mrs. Crist would beg to disagree.
Oh, yeah, she loves the polling.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, Marco Rubio gets back waxes, and Charlie Crist doesn't because he's a man, because he's a lumberjack, and he explained that that's how you know if someone's a real man. They
I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. I sleep all night.
They go to
a
barber named Carl in St. Petersburg for $11. Or, as Jim has pointed out, if you're even more manly, you just have Carl from Sling Blade trim your hair.
All right, then. I'm going to use my sling blade to cut your hair. Some guys call it Cosbro, I call it sling blade. Mm-hmm. Oops.
Sometimes Carl slips. He takes off a little too much on the sides. Sometimes your entire head.
You got biscuits and mustard pouring out your head. Mm-hmm. Sure would like some pot of meat right by now. Mm-hmm.
And some French fried potatoes.
You just can't get enough of that. It's so current, the sling blade.
Yeah.
just, he brought up his Carver, his Barber Carl. What are we going to do? Eric Massa, back in the House Ethics Committee's court after a round of parliamentary maneuvering ended in
Can
a
they
House
do
vote.
That?
I don't get this. The an aide said the Ethics Committee never ended its Massa investigation. The story saying that it had were wrong. I'm saying the difference is he's already quit. I mean, Ensign is dirtier Then I'll get out, and he's still in. Yeah. He wants to stay in the Senate, you know.
But Massa is no longer in Congress, so how does a congressional body still have jurisdiction over him?
I know. I don't mean to excuse it, but has there really been harm done? It's like, what? Some guy got tickled. It's okay. It was inappropriate, but yeah. It's just as.
Although sexual harassment in any form is really inappropriate.
Really? Oh.
Crap. Oh, you make it sound like you don't like it when I do it to you.
Stephanie encourages it.
Exactly. You can't sexually harass me enough.
It's hard to do.
When I was back in L.A., I was like, Jim, why aren't you touching my ass?
Because you're in New York. You moved to get away from us.
Well, you know why I had to move.
Why?
Because you complained about the tickle parties.
Yeah, I'm a big old baby.
He's a little whiny.
Uh-huh.
Get off me. I can't breathe. Blah, blah, blah. All right. I love Candy Crowley asked the boner. She's like, really? Do you really want to go there with the ethics things? Really? With the massive thing? You really? With all the Republican stuff?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boner, by the way, also said over the weekend, Gitmo is a world-class facility. he said, closing that they will not pay to close it. He said they want $550 million from this Congress to rehabilitate this prison in Northwest Illinois. I wouldn't vote for this if you put a gun to my head. Well, he also wouldn't put a gun to his head because then some of the tanner would, rub off.
It would just slip off. The gun would slide off with a bronzer.
He said, I think we have a world-class facility at Guantanamo. I don't think Congress will appropriate one dime to move those prisoners.
It's like Club
Med. Yeah, it's... Exactly. I'm sure that's where he got that tan. All right, that's it for us. Don't forget Charlie Pierce, humorous extraordinaire tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris Lloyd, Jim Ward, and Miranda Moreno on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.